Okay, we're continuing on Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. Tanya, another thing we're discussing is mitzvah, mitzvah in the context of Sukkah and a marriage, right? It's Chasan Chayev in the mitzvah of Sukkah. Lemaskana, we ended up saying that Chasan is Chayev in the mitzvah of Sukkah, right? Even though there is Eisiv mitzvah, potim in the mitzvah, there's no real reason not to eat in a Sukkah and fulfill the mitzvah of being making your bride happy the rest of the time. Right. Tanya, Bryce says, Amar Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva ben Akavya, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya said, Koisi Soran Vil Mezuzo Yitain, Vesagarein, Vesagarei Sagarein, Vechalo Iskin, Vimelechis Femaim, Vesuye Moichre, Tchelestrim, Mikriashma, Umina Tvilin, Umina Tvila, Umina Tvilin, Umakol, Mitzvah, Muris Torah, Lekayim, Divri, Rabbi Yoisi, Haglili. Right. So, the Pasuk says, somebody who writes out Svarim, Sifrei Torah, or Svarim of Tanakh, right? Writes them in cloth. And Tefillin, somebody who writes sacred stuff, right? Somebody writes out Tefillin, gets Tefillin ready. Or Mezuzah, somebody gets Mezuzahs ready. They, and Tagarean, the people who buy these objects from them to sell them on to whoever needs them. And the secondary buyers, right? If we're talking about the big supplier, the one who buys it from the sofer, then he sells it onto like a storekeep, and the storekeep sells it onto you. So the storekeeper is also potter. And anybody who's really dealing with melechus shamayim, who's selling things which are for the purpose of mitzvahs, including somebody who sells tcheles, is potter from kriyashma, and from tefillah, and from davening, and from tefillin. And from any mitzvah which is said in the Torah, lekayim divrei Rabbi Yosi. Lili is similar to the psach of Rabbi Yosi. This is similar to the psach of Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Similar to Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who learned that the person who's dealing with the Meis Mitzvah on before Pesach becomes potter from a Korban Pesach. Right? Anybody doing the Shemaim, anybody doing the work on mitzvahs is potter from all mitzvahs. Shehaya Rabbi Yosi Aglili merits. Rabbi Yosi Aglili will say, I Yosi Gmitzvah Rabbi Matam in Mitzvah. Anybody who's dealing with the Mitzvah currently is potter from doing other mitzvahs. Tanu Rabbanon. We have a brayse that says, Holchei Derachim Bayoyim. Anybody who's on a journey, if somebody's on a journey and he travels by day, he's parted from a sukkah during the day, he's chayev at night. If he's journeying at night, right, if he's traveling during the night, then he's chayev in sukkah during the day and parter at night. He's only chayev when he's actually on a journey. If he's really walking the whole time, then he's parter all the time. Right, no, Rashi says, doesn't mean that you are journey, that you're really walking the whole time. It means that you're on a journey the whole time. So, Holchei V'drachim Loim, that's somebody who goes somewhere and comes back to his house at night. Then he's Chayav M'sukkah. Somebody goes out at night and comes back to his house today, he's Chayav M'sukkah during the day. Somebody's on a journey which takes multiple days, even though he's currently really able to sleep in the sukkah, right? Because he's not journeying at night, he's only walking during the day. He's still potter, right? And the reason why Rashi says, because you're worried about the mitzvah. It's because, just like during the rest of the year, the idea of sukkah is teshuvu kein tzur. The pasuk says you should live in the dwell in the sukkah, right? Teshuvu kein tzur, it means dwell. It doesn't mean sit in the sukkah, it means dwell in the sukkah. So what does it mean to dwell in the sukkah? You dwell in your house. That doesn't mean you don't travel somewhere. Right? You travel places. You dwell somewhere and then you go somewhere else. Right? So just like you dwell somewhere and you go somewhere else all the rest of the year, you can dwell in your sukkah and go somewhere else. So when you go somewhere else during sukkahs, you are potter from the mitzvah sukkah because, right, you are currently dwelling somewhere else. Okay. Fine. It says, in ledvar mitzvah to remain by yom. If you're walking to perform a mitzvah, that you're potter during, whether during day, whether during the night, doesn't matter when you're walking, when you're on journey. The reason why is because you're currently dealing with the mitzvah that you're doing. If you're currently dealing with the mitzvah you're doing, again, you do not have to fulfill a different mitzvah sukkah. That's called oisik mitzvah potter minas, the oisik mitzvah potter mina mitzvah. Ki ha de rav chista ve rabba barav huna ki ha va'eli b'shapsa de raga levei reish galus ha'vuganu arakta desura. Right. And this is similar to Rav Chista and to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed, they came to the house of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was the ruler of the Jews in Bavel. It was actually an official position in the Sassanid Persian government. He lived in Mechuza across the road, across the river from Ctesiphon, which was the capital of the Sassanid Persian Empire. He had a court, right? We have discussions of, for example, his coronation, right? By various travelers who actually saw the coronation of the Reish Galusa. They had a whole ceremony. The Rosh Yeshivas would come and they would read the Torah, and he would read the Torah and he would darshan and whatever. The whole thing. He was an official in the Sasanian Persian Empire. He was really the king of the Jews. He had a court. He could make laws. He could do justice, subject to the Sasanian Persian Emperor. But yeah. And in addition, he was a descendant of He was from Malchus Beis David. He was a descendant of David HaMelech. Right. So when they traveled to the house of the Reish Galusa, they would have a ganu arata the sukkah. They would sit, they'd sleep just on the riverbank, right? They would not sleep in the sukkah. Amri, they said, anan shulchei mitzvah anan upturin. Right? We are shulchei mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Right? Hey, they were coming to see to hear the shiurim that were given in the house of Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was a very important person. So they had a great shiurim given in his house during sukkah. And secondly, right, they're just coming to see the Reish Galusa. That is itself a mitzvah. Right? And therefore, they were parted from the mitzvah of sukkah. Tan Rabbanan. Shomrei ha'ir b'yoim, p'turim min sukkah b'yoim. V'chayavim b'layla, shomrei ha'ir b'layla, p'turim min sukkah b'layla. We have Bryce that says, the guardmen of the city, people who are guarding a city, bandits or whatever, right? If they are doing it during the day, they are parted during the day. If they are standing guard during the night, they are potter during the night, and they are chayev during the day. If they're always on guard, if that's just what they do, then they are potter whether it is day or night. Right, and then somebody who's guarding the gardens and the orchards outside of a city is potter whether during the day or during the night. Why? Because they're not in the city. They're not where people live. Right? There isn't a sukkah there. So they're obviously potter. Says, the Gemara suggests immediately, v'liadu sukkah hasam v'leisvu. Right? Shouldn't one just build a sukkah for them? What's the problem? Just build a sukkah. Abaya marsh eishvukein taduru. Rabbi says, no. The whole point is to dwell in a sukkah, right? Teshu kenduro. You're not sitting in a sukkah. The point isn't to spend time in the sukkah. The point is to dwell in a sukkah, just like you dwell in your house. If the way you dwell in your house is when you're guarding an orchard, you're not in your house. And the way you dwell in a sukkah is when you're guarding an orchard, you're not in your sukkah. It makes perfect sense. Rav Amar, Rava said, Pirtza Kora'a Leganav. Robert said, no, if he's sitting in the sukkah, then he's not going to be watching the field properly. Firstly, he's going to be doing the mitzvah. He's going to be eating, drinking, sleeping, whatever. Secondly, usually, obviously not essentially, as we've discussed, there are some walls which are only halachically walls. They are not in reality walls. But in general, in very form, some sort of obstacle, seder, right? In general, the way you build a sukkah is you build walls, right? Because the walls you can't see, right? So it's similar. It's like building a gap in the fence. You're inviting a thief to come and steal stuff. Maybe Nayo. What's the nafka mina between them? Ikebinayo de ka minter carrier de peri. Right? What's the difference? The difference between their opinion is if you're guarding a field or an orchard, or if you're guarding a big pile of fruits. If you're guarding a field or an orchard, then achinami, everything we just said is true. If you're guarding a big pile of fruits, then you can position it in such a way that you can watch it even from inside a sukkah. In such a case, then you would not be potter if the reason why for the potter is to make sure you can watch the field better. And the maisa that is, the reason we're passing like Rava, of course, against Abaye, and therefore, in such a case, you really should build a sukkah for somebody who's guarding produce, if that produce has already been harvested and it's resting in a pile. Okay, so parenthetically, and here's a few things about what I just said. With regard to somebody who's currently Oisik B'mitzvah, if he's writing Svarin Tefillin and Mezuzos, if he's a Sofer Stam, or he's selling things that were written by a Sofer Stam, we said that he's Potter, that's Pshat Nagmara. Rashi said that the people who are Potter are either the people who are writing it or the people who are making sure it gets to who needs it. The Magen Avraham has a diuk in Rashi, where he says that means they're not doing it for their parnasa, they're not doing it to make a living. Right? They're doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. If they're doing it to make a living, they would not be potter. Right? He says, nevertheless, they're allowed to receive what's called schar b'tala. They're allowed to receive the minimal amount of money they could reasonably expect if they weren't doing that. If they weren't using their time on distributing tefillin, what amount of money they could get, whatever that is, that they can ask for, but they can't ask for it to make a profit, right? Otherwise, they would be chayiv in mitzvahs, and they would be chayiv in sukkah, and they would not be potter. I think we hold that way. Therefore, somebody who is a tefillin seller, even though the Gemara seems to imply he's potter in sukkah, we would pass on that he's potter in mitzvahs, and so we would pass on that he's chayiv in mitzvahs, starts the daven, he still has to... There would not be an obligation to see, there would be an obligation to daven, he would not become potter. The Gemara here said that Rav Chista and Rav Barav Huna were going to see the Reish Galusa, right? And Rashi gave two mitzvahs that they were doing, right? A, they were going to hear Drasha, B, they were just going to see the Reish Galusa. That, which mitzvah is that? Pashtus, you would think that mitzvah is mitzvah lahakil pli raboi baregel. Right, it's a mitzvah to see your Rav in the regel. Who's the Rav? Of big Rosh Hashiva, Mitzvah on the Reish Galusa. The Noida Bihuda has a psak that the mitzvah lahakpil pnei rabbi rebbe, the mitzvah to come see your rabbi in the regel, only applies when the Beis HaMikdash exists. Right? Now, people ask on him from this Gemara, but wait, doesn't the Gemara imply the opposite? They answer no, that's why Rashi said they were coming to hear a shir. That for sure is a mitzvah. Right? Oh, the mitzvah of Benjamin mitzvah still exists, but he's saying the mitzvah to come see your rabbi during the regel does not exist in time when there is no Beis HaMikdash. Now, it should be noted, why would the mitzvah to come see a rabbi during the regel be linked to the mitzvah, to the existence of Beis HaMikdash? If anything, you might have thought it's the opposite. You might have said, in time of the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is to go to Beis HaMikdash during the regel. There's no Beis HaMikdash, so at least go to your rabbi, right? So I think Pashtus, the explanation for this is the Ramban and Sefer Chinuch both explain that the reason for the mitzvahs of Maaser Behema, of the fact that you have to take 1 in 10 animals and bring it to Yerushalayim, bring it as a korban and eat it in the city, right? Oh, the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni, the mitzvah to take a tenth of all your produce and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or to bring its monetary value to Yerushalayim and buy food and eat it there, right? Why do these mitzvahs exist? So the answer is, they say, it exists just to bring people to Yerushalayim. The point is to bring people to Yerushalayim, because that way they'll be around the Sanhedrin, they'll learn Torah, they'll become frumer. Without that, they will not become so frum, they will not learn so much Torah. The reason for these mitzvahs is just to get people to Yerushalayim, because that's where the Sanhedrin is. If so, it's very reasonable to say that Aliyah L'Regel has at least partially the same goal. The point is, 3 times a year, all the Jewish people are going to come to Yerushalayim to learn Torah from the Sanhedrin. If that's true, you can see this mitzvah, l'hakpil p'nei rabbi regel, this mitzvah to see your rabbi in the regel, is a function of the mitzvah aliyah regel. It's part of the mitzvah of aliyah regel. If there's currently no mitzvah aliyah regel on account of there being nowhere to go, there being no beis hamikdash to make aliyah to, then there is also no mitzvah to see your rabbi during the regel, because that's part of the mitzvah of aliyah regel. Having said that, I think the minhag is to go and see your rabbi during the regel if it's not too hard to do that. And l'chora, it's a good idea, because, you know, seeing the rabbi is a good idea. Okay, fine. Now let's continue in the Gemara. Chol Masham Shayen. Somebody who's sick is Pashim Nesuk. We mentioned this, right? Tanu Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Chol Sha'amr L'chol Sheyesh B'Sakana Le'afilu Chol Sha'in B'Sakana. So the Braita says, the chole who is potter from sukkah is not just a chole sheish b'sakana. It's not a chole, it's not somebody who's dying. He's dying, l'chora, obviously, potter from sukkah, right? It's not even somebody who is a chole she'in b'sakana, meaning a chole she's not. Somebody who's sick is not dying. But when we say somebody who's sick is not dying, we mean somebody who's in bed, right? He's got a high fever, he's in bed, he's really sick, right? He's sick enough that he's forced to lie down. But we're even saying somebody who has a sore eye, who has a sore headache, that's enough to pater you from the sukkah. And like I said, the Rach on this says, we're not saying that somehow staying in a sukkah makes your eye more sore, gives you a worse headache. We're saying that these illnesses have nothing whatsoever to do with the sukkah, and even so you're a potter from the sukkah. Amar Rabban Shimon Gamaliel Ba'am Achas Chashti Be'enai Be'Kesari Ve'hiti Rabbi Yosi Be'Rebi Lishan Ani V'Sham Shai Chutz LeSukkah. And Rashbag said, this happened to me. I was in Kesaria, and I got a sore eye. I had an eye ache. Right? And Rabbi Yosi Be'Rebi told me, that's fine. So you can sleep outside Sukkah, not just you, your servants too, can also sleep outside Sukkah. Rav Shara La Rav Acha Bardela Le Magna Be'Chilasa Be'Sukkah Mishum Baki. Rav said to Rav Acha Bardala that you can sleep in a canopy on the sukkah, which we paskin would. The implication is it would have passed the sukkah, right? But otherwise, why is there a chiddush, right? Mishum baki, because there are like little flies around that are driving him crazy. Rav Ashara Leila Rabbi Acha Bar Adala Magna Bar. Rava allowed Rav Yachbar Ada to sleep outside the sukkah because the floor of the sukkah happened to have been built on white clay, on soft white clay. And therefore it was uncomfortable to sleep there. That's not pleasant material to sleep on. Right? Rava la taimi de Rava mistar patam rasukkah. Right? Rava said, this is consistent with Rava's statement that a mistar, somebody's mistar, is potter from the sukkah. Immediately Gemara asked, but didn't we say in the Mishnah, cholin, sick people, mishamshen, people who serve them, are potter from the sukkah? Doesn't that imply a chol, somebody's sick, is potter? Not somebody's just upset by the sukkah, is potter? No! right? The Gemara immediately responds, a chole is potter, right? Somebody who's sick is potter, and even the people who are looking after him. But when it comes to a nistar, somebody who's just upset about sleeping in the sukkah, so then he's potter, but whoever's looking after him is not. There's no reason for them to be potter. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Ochlin achilas, right? By the way, parenthetically, I think this supports the general idea, which I think we pass in mind, that a chole and mistar is not the same p'tor. Right? A chole is a separate p'tor from mistar. A mistar is p'tor for one reason, a chole is for another. Not totally clear why a chole is p'tor if it's not because of mistar, but p'seder. Ochlin achilas arayichutz asukkah, the Gemara says you can eat small amounts of food, right, outside of a sukkah. What does it mean eating small amounts? I'm Rav Yosef, Tarte Otas Bei. We're saying two or three eggs, meaning not nothing, but not enough to fill you up. Right, basically, Rashi says, what does that mean? It means you can have two or three mouthfuls. Right, that's what we're really saying. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said, Ve'ha zimnin sagin sagi le'en shi v'chachi. Ali said, that's kepa. But I said, no, you can get full of that much food. Two or three mouthfuls, that can really be enough food to eat. That could be enough food to go on. Elam Rabbi, rather, Rabbi said, Kid the time bar be rav ve'ayil lechala. Right? Basically, when you have a yeshiva bachur, before he goes to shir in the mornings, and this sure might go for a really long time, he's not going to eat for a while. He's going to get really hungry, see? Had a bite to eat. So whatever you eat, just to tide you over until after the shiur, or after davening, that is what you are allowed to eat outside of the sukkah. Okay, so if we see the Tanu Rabbanan, Oichlin Achilas Arai Chutz LaSukkah, right? You eat small amounts of food outside of the sukkah. But you may not sleep even a small amount outside the sukkah. Meaning, it is mutu to eat a little bit outside the sukkah. Mutu mikrodin, we'll discuss soon, the Midas Chasidus says not to do so. When mikrodin, we pass him, it's mutu to eat a small amount outside the sukkah. Right, Abaye said, what's a small amount? A small amount is however much you need to eat to keep yourself going through a shiur, right? So the shiur won't leave you totally exhausted, totally unable to concentrate. Right, on the other hand, right, you are not allowed to sleep at all outside of sukkah. My timer, right? Why would this be? So Amar Ravashi gzeira shema yirodin. Ravashi said, we made a gzeira, we're afraid that you'll go to sleep. We'll go to sleep properly, and that would be an ambitul mitzvah daraisa. Amar Rav Yosef beida Rabbi Eli ben Moiser sheinase l'achirim. So, Rav Yosef, the son of Rabbi Eli, in that case, why can't you sleep outside the sukkah? Why can't you lie down outside the sukkah? Go down for a nap and really go to sleep. Somebody will wake you up. Maskifle Rav Mesharshia Arvecha Arva Tzarech. Rav Mesharshia says, what do you mean? Normally, and Samashal says, your guarantor himself needs a guarantor. When we're talking about a loan, so if you don't have enough money, if we're not certain you have enough money to pay back the loan, so sometimes you can have somebody else guaranteed a loan. You can have somebody else agree to pay back the loan in the event that you prove to be delinquent, in the event that you do not pay back the loan yourself. Fine. That works, right? But what if your guarantor is himself not solvent? What if your guarantor can't guarantee you'll pay? Then the guarantor is not a guarantor. He himself needs a guarantor. Same thing here, right? You said that you're going to rely on somebody else to wake you up. He's going to fall asleep himself. Why would you think that he's going to be able to stay awake if you can't? Ella, rather, Amaraba Barachana Amar Rabbi Yechanan Bereinea Bemeiniach Roisho Bein Birkav Aiskinan. So Rabbi Yechanan says, what do you do? I'm sorry, I skipped a line and it didn't make a lot of sense. Zirashan, we're afraid you'll go to sleep. Right, Amarli Abaye said, Allah hadasanya, right? Doesn't the bride say, Yashan Adam Shem Asa Rabbit Filin, Ava Lushin Askeva, Leil Shem Yeradim? Right, somebody is allowed to sleep. He's allowed to take a nap in Filin. Right, even though he's not allowed to go down for a real sleep. Why? I was afraid he'll pass gas while he's wearing tefillin. That's not right. You're not allowed to pass gas while you're wearing tefillin. As it is deraisa, and therefore, right, he should not go down for a proper sleep, but he can, short nap, a cat nap he can do in tefillin. It says, the Gemara says, but why aren't we afraid that he'll go to sleep permanently? Why is it different? It says, no, that case is a case that you tell somebody to watch you and wake you up. And then the answer was, no, he's going to fall asleep himself, right, like we explained. Whereas, rather, right, we're talking about somebody who puts his head between his knees. Such a person can sleep in his tefillin because for sure you'll wake up. It's a very uncomfortable position to sleep in, right, and you will wake up for sure. And the truth is, and if somebody in NYU, a friend of mine in NYU, he would be up late at night, and somewhere between 11:30 and 12, he would put his head down on his knees, and he would, like, literally bend himself over, right, put his head on his knees and go to sleep, right, while sitting in a chair. The theory being he would wake up within 15 minutes. He was able to sleep hours in this position, but generally it is very uncomfortable and it does not work, and you cannot sleep for very long that. Rav Amar Ein Keva Lashina. Rav Amar said no. The difference is, when we're talking about sleeping outside the sukkah, any sleep is the same sleep, right? Eating, there's a distinction between eating a little bit and eating a lot. But sleeping is sleeping, therefore there's no heter to sleep outside the sukkah. With tefillin, the reason is not because per se there's a problem with sleeping in tefillin, it's because we're afraid you'll pass gas. That fear doesn't exist in a very short sleep. Tani Chada, one braisa said, Yashin Adam de tefillin, Jinas Arai, Aval Lishinas Kev, Tanya Idach, Bein Keva, Bein Arai, Vesanya Idach, Loi Keva, Veloi Arai. We have three braises. One says that you can sleep in your tefillin a cat nap, but you can't do a real sleep. You can't really lie down and go to sleep. Another one says you can sleep as much as you want. Another braise says you can sleep as much as you want in tefillin. And a third braise says you can't sleep at all in tefillin. Leikashia. That's not a problem. Had nakabi lehubi day. Ha de manki bereshi. Ha de paris sudra al ilve. So, the three braises are as follows. The one who said that you can sleep permanently, that you can really go to sleep, I mean when you're wearing a tefillin, it meant when you put them away, then you're really allowed to sleep in them. The one who said that you can sleep a little bit, but not that much, is when you're holding your tefillin. Right? We don't want you to sleep too much because something's going to happen, you're going to ruin your tefillin, they're a kodesh object, you need to put them away, it's not respectful, but for a short period of time you can delay. Right? A third one said you can sleep as much as you want, that's The third one that said you can't sleep at all, that's when you're wearing them. Vecham Hashem Asarai, what's sleeping just a little bit? Tani Rami Bar Chizka, k'dehiluch mea ama. It's how long it will take you to walk mea ama. It's like 30 or 40 meters. Not long. Right, a few minutes. Tanya Nami Haki, there's also a bright that says, Hayashin Tila Rula Keri, Oichis Beritsua, Ve'eno Oichis Bixitza, Divir Yaakov, Rav Yaakov, Rachacham Rim Yeshen, Adam Bisfilin Shein Asarai, Avaloi. Sheinas keva shan avekama sheinas arai. Dehiluch mea ama. So there's a braisa. There's a braisa that says that a person can, in fact, that if a person sleeps keri, if a person has a seminal emission, right, while he's wearing tefillin, right, then he must remove the tefillin, right, immediately. Like, really straight away, you have to remove the tefillin. How do you do that? You grab the straps and you pull them off. Right? That's what Rabbi Yaakov says. Right? But you shouldn't actually hold onto the batim. You shouldn't hold onto the tefillin. You shouldn't hold on the tefillin themselves. I can say, even though it is a very big problem to see Kerry, to have a feminine emission while wearing tefillin, right? You can sleep in your tefillin a little bit. Right, but what is a little bit? When you can, however long it takes you to walk, 30, 40 meters, we're talking a few minutes, right? That's how long you can sleep in your tefillin.